Stephen Adams.
And this is Kevin Durant. Oh, sorry.
Kevin Durant. You're Kevin Durant, mate. Good to see you, mate. Different complexion.
Okay, let's go.
So, this is Stephen Adams.
And this is Enes Kanter.
You're listening to the Down to Earth...
Down to Dunk podcast.
What? Down to Dunk.
Down to Dunk.
I'll say that.
Introduce yourself, mate.
Here's Stu Dadis, and I'm Enes Kanter.
And you're listening to Down to Dunk podcast.
Stay tuned.
Good morning and welcome to episode 3, 6, 9 of Down to Dunk.
369, dang you fine. Come on, just suck it to me one more time.
Get low.
Through the window. Through the wall.
Let's stop.
This is why I dropped down in balls. How are you?
Welcome to
our bitch is crawl.
Why did you say that?
Oh, skeet.
Oh, no. I don't want to do too much editing.
Mother effer.
Great.
Oh, skeet, god dang.
We're a part of DailyThunder.com.
We were.
Also, Almighty Baller Radio. You can listen to us on Dash Radio on Saturdays if you're listening now. Hi, and we're sorry.
Sorry.
We got a big crew here today.
Big crew.
Big crew.
Big crew. Big old crew.
We're just going to keep saying
we got a big crew.
We got a big crew.
Great.
Sweat dropping down all our balls.
Luke, you're supposed to be introing.
Oh, sorry. Hey, guys, I'm Luke. Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm here with Andrew.
Hi.
Taylor. Jay.
Hello.
Special guest, Alex Spears.
Hey, yeah.
What is that?
You remember that song?
Were you being Metallica?
Oh, Metallica. Yeah,
that's the only Metallica song.
Yeah.
From the Spider-Man soundtrack.
That is not true.
Wait, the Mission Impossible soundtrack. No, it was Mission Impossible, right?
I don't know.
It's a Godzilla soundtrack.
Okay.
Did you guys
not tarnish that.
We've been talking about music that we all love and hate. Before we started at 6 a.m. In the morning.
Periscope got a lot of that.
They got a lot of it. If you want to hear lots of stuff like that, you can watch our Periscope on Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So do we want to talk about the NBA?
Yeah.
Now, I think you're all in the same boat. Incredibly surprised by the matchup we have going to the finals.
Oh,
man.
Thrilled.
Shocked.
Can't believe it.
Some people are saying this is like the most anticipated finals ever.
Mm.
It's just because we've been anticipating it since October.
Yeah, that's true. Right?
Yeah,
that's
most
true.
Anticipated does not mean most excited.
For right.
It. What's crazy is that they're one Avery Bradley lucky shot
away
from both teams being undefeated going into the playoffs.
Right.
Or going to the finals.
Yeah.
That would have been neat.
Have you been watching?
Nope.
Andrew.
No. You been watching? No. Why do you watch? Do you watch something? I know it's exactly what's going to happen, so I'm gonna sit down and watch this.
Luke.
Of course not.
You've been watching?
No.
Taylor?
Yes. That would have been Luke's answer at any time.
Hold on.
Have you been watching since
October?
Do you only watch basketball for an unknown outcome?
I think that's what everyone watches, sports.
That's kind of like the joy of sports,
I watched a little bit of...
That'd be like pre-recording.
I don't think that's always true.
You DVR games and then go home and watch them later?
No. I do.
You sicko?
Thunder games.
No. Oh.
Wow.
I do for Thunder games for really that's pod purposes, so I can come in and be like...
Here's when I'll watch.
Here's what
I'll check the score, and if it's close, I'll watch.
Yeah.
If they're not close, then why would you watch?
You do the fast watch on NBA, whatever it's called.
Like the next day?
Yeah, where you can watch it in a condensed version. Condensed is what, not fast watch.
NBA fast watch.
Fast watch.
Watch it double speed.
So wait, are you going to watch the finals?
I don't plan to watch much of the finals because I feel like I already know what's going to happen.
Why did you bring us there, man?
Well, I wanted everyone to hear him actually say it.
See, I'm feeling better now. I think it's because one of our Twitter questions asked to go look up LeBron's best performances.
Yeah.
And I was looking at his stats from last finals.
Yeah.
I'm feeling a little better.
Yeah.
I'm not as negative.
I'm glad that you feel that way.
Just because...
I want to feel that way. I wish I could. I wish I had the same feelings as you guys.
I just believe in LeBron's defense, which we haven't gotten to see a lot of.
Sure.
But last year, what was it, game 6 or 7 when he like was just destroying them on defense and offense? Like, yeah, he had that chase down block on Iguodala that was huge and then came down the other end.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
That was like, game 7, right?
Was it game 7?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, man.
Oh, yeah.
But he's the best player in the series.
Yeah. Just try to make your case, please.
He's the best player in the series.
Kyrie is peaking. He's peaking.
2. Well, and Kyrie, here's the thing. Kyrie can ISO on anyone. It doesn't matter. If Klay's guarding him, if Draymond's guarding him, he can ISO on anyone. Right. And he can go up. Kyrie won a game against the Warriors last year in the finals because he could do that.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, like, he gives you a chance.
See, what's hard about that, though, and I'll just set Andrew up for the spike, is every single one of your benefits to Cleveland, I can give you, like, the exact equal and opposite plus one for the Warriors.
No, you cannot.
So, okay, so LeBron's the best player in the series. I got that. Understandable. Is he light years beyond Kevin Durant?
In the finals, I think he probably will be.
Which is, you know, it's an unknown. I got that. So for everything that Kyrie can do, Steph can do almost the exact same thing. He can create his own shot. He can shoot from everywhere.
But
he's
maybe
healthy.
Not in the same game. But
he's
maybe not in
this
the same
series.
Game.
You also have Klay Thompson. You also have. I mean, you just the level of talent from top to bottom is more than Cleveland, and so you're going to have a heroic series from LeBron, in my opinion.
They came back.
I think it's possible.
I think it's possible, and I'm not saying I expect Cleveland to win. That's not my argument. My argument is.
It'll
it's not going to be like,
I don't disagree with that.
Here's why I don't think it's going to be much of a series. The Warriors were mentally fragile in the finals last year. They are like nothing close to that right now. Steph Curry wasn't 100%.
That's because they haven't been tested.
Draymond Green was a head case by the finals. And he was rattled against the Thunder.
They were up 3-1.
I know that, and that's what you're making my point, is that it was very much a mental thing happening with the Warriors.
Cleveland didn't come back and win. The Warriors broke down mentally.
I think that's part of it. I'm not saying that, but this is also a Warriors team that has Kevin freaking Durant now. Like, that's...
I'm not sure that makes them mentally stronger, though.
I'm not saying it makes it mentally... The talent level is... you were right. The talent level is just beyond what Cleveland can do.
Yep. Because you don't get past the 3 in Cleveland and get excited about much. I mean, maybe Tristan Thompson, but you get past the top 3 and you still have Dre, you still have Iguodala, who's better than any bench player that Cleveland has. I mean, Sean Livingston's still going to get...
I mean, the Warriors nearly won in a gentleman's sweep in the finals last year, and then they added Kevin Durant.
Yep. They lost Draymond was suspended for, what, game 5?
Yeah, the Draymond suspension was big, and... I don't know. I don't see anybody beating the Warriors. I just don't see it happening.
The Warriors also were getting destroyed by the Spurs in game 1 before Kawhi got hurt at Oracle. Like, I just don't think that they're so, like,
they're
indestructible.
Not as unbeatable.
I hope to someday feel the same way.
I just think it'll take one loss to bring back all of those, like, mental
I think so, too.
I hope so. I don't think so. But
if Cleveland comes out and beats them in game 1 or just, I mean... Yeah. I don't know. You're right.
I just don't think.
Especially
when Dre
starts yelling at Kevin Durant and he takes a moment on the bench to just weep by himself.
I just think that they're gonna win in 4 or 5. That's what I think.
So give me your actual prediction. 4-1.
Warriors sweep.
Sweep
is your actual prediction.
That's my prediction. Yes.
You're a character. You are a character.
Okay. I just see this talent. It's unprecedented. It's never happened, and they work together very well. Mm-hmm. And they're gelling. Everyone's healthy. That's another thing with that Warriors team last year, is that they won 73 games. They were exhausted by the time they got to the finals. This is the opposite. Like, they're all well-rested. They're all healthy. They're all ready to go.
But so I think Cleveland would be that way as well. Like, I'm not saying they weren't last year, but I think Cleveland, like, they do. The way we talked about it initially is that, like, just more rest for the Warriors. But the series doesn't start until Monday, Tuesday?
It starts the first, so whatever that day is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so the Cavs are still going to have a chunk of time to get rested as well.
Starts the first?
Yeah, something like that.
That's Thursday.
And LeBron barely played this regular season pretty... I mean, he played a lot of minutes, and then he would just start missing a lot of games. You know?
That's Thursday.
So Andrew called a gentleman sweep. Alex, what's...
No, Andrew called a sweep.
Sorry, a sweep. A not-so-gentleman sweep. Alex, what about you?
This is muted. Can you hear me on this one?
Yeah, there he is.
I'll go with Warriors in six.
Wow. Reasonable take.
Well, I mean, I understand why Andrew would pick them in four. I just don't think they've been tested yet. They played a Blazers team that had needed like a huge second half just to make the playoffs. They played a Jazz
without
team
Nurkic
that hasn't made the playoffs in years and years, and this was their first real experience.
Yeah.
And then they played the Spurs without Kawhi Leonard.
Like, yeah.
Not impressive.
Yeah, that's valid. I will say, I mean, I think you mentioned it with that Portland, like not having Nurkic. Nurkic is the reason, a big part of why they, and you're more of a Portland guy than because you live there, but Nurkic was a huge part of the reason they became what they became towards the end of the season. Then he's gone. Did he even play in the Warriors series?
No.
He kept
thinking he was going to come back, but... He never did.
So you're right. And then, you know, I think there's validity to that. So you think six. Taylor, what about you?
I think Warriors in, I'll say seven.
Okay.
Going the distance over there.
So I picked the Warriors.
That'd be cool.
Ermager.
Cool.
I'm probably more with Alex on the Warriors in six.
Okay. I mean, yeah, that would still
Luke,
be.
What do you think, man?
That's none of your business. Stay out of my personal affairs. Guys, you know what I want to talk about?
What's that?
Delicious Anthem beers. I'd been saving one for special occasion, and I had it last night. Not a special occasion. I just broke down and opened it.
Their barrel age.
I just got real sad.
Their barrel age, Earl Burroughs, opened it. It's my favorite thing they make.
Really?
I love it.
Yeah, so they're in the middle of a barrel-aged, like a bunch of that kind of style of beers. And so you want those with your friend Luke? Luke, we'll take you down there.
Yeah, I'll take
you down. You can buy Luke
anything
you want there.
Yes, you can, and I'll drink it.
But yeah, so they have a lot of stuff going on. If you don't know where it is, down on Southwest 4th, 908 Southwest 4th Street, Oklahoma City. They're open tonight through Saturday. They open at noon and close at 9. They've got some specials on tap. Mosaic, which is there. Isn't Mosaic there that, what is it? It's kind of that sour. No, that's not Mosaic.
That's not it.
But they have Eureka Goza, which is it's kind of a more sour beer. You have the 2015 Festivus, 2016 Bourbon Ouroboros, which is what Luke loves. They also have a Bourbon Golden one.
Yeah. Mm.
I've had that too.
I have too.
And it's good. Their barrel aged stuff is so unique, and I really, really like it. It's not going to be like any beer you've tasted before.
Yeah.
Like, it's not stuff that you're going to get like at a gas station, which is where I traditionally got beers before discovering Anthem.
So they have live music tonight. They have a band called Connolly. They're doing an Anthem live music series, but you do not want to miss a chance to go out to their tap room. It's a great place to be. You can also find all of their beers at your local liquor store. And hey, good news. Liquor store hours are potentially changing in Oklahoma City.
To what?
Passed some legislation. I don't know if it got too far, but it's working its way to where they'll be open a little bit more. They'll be open on Sundays potentially, and then they'll be open later and earlier.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's Nuggets GM Tim Connolly's band.
Yeah. Tim Connolly's band is here.
Wow.
So yep. This is your chance if you want Wilson Chandler.
Off season.
Touring.
Off season tour.
You know where else you can find many of their beers? In my belly.
Oh, I heard Jameer Nelson plays bass.
That would make the most sense. That's why he plays so much for them.
That's right. He's their bass
for Connolly.
The backbone, man.
Oh,
Coach, so. I know we probably shouldn't be playing him.
He's
but,
part
you know,
of
my
rhythm
bassist.
Section.
He really keeps me grounded.
Oh.
Guys, let's talk about some Twitter questions.
Maybe.
Twitter questions!
Yeah. Our first Twitter question comes from at M. Haggard, who wants to know, what is the statute of limitations on the, quote, this team is built to have KD on it, unquote, narrative? 1 year? 5 years?
I'm going to say 2 years, and that's it.
2 years from now?
No.
Or like last year and next year?
Yes. So counting this offseason and then next year and next year's offseason, and then you can't say it anymore. I think one, two off seasons and then two seasons is a good amount of time to do something around Russell Westbrook.
I mean, I think that it exists until this run is over, to be honest.
What do you mean?
Till like the Russell Westbrook run is over, because there's always like that massive like what if. Like, what if this team had actually stayed together? What if that had happened? What if Sam Presti was able to do this? What about the Harden trade? Like, that will exist.
I don't think so.
Until this run is over.
I don't think so.
But what do you think is fair?
Tell me why. Why don't you think so?
Because I don't think in, like, 5 years, when his run is about to be over, when this, whatever you're
saying.
Are
we still talking about the Harden trade every day?
Well, I know, but it's different. But that doesn't mean... In 5 years, when we have a completely different team built around Russell Westbrook, we're not going to be like, well, this team is meant to have KD on it.
Like, is the Harden narrative fair?
Because it won't be built to have... It won't, at that point, be built to have KD on it. It'll be built for something different.
Well, I would love to be wrong about that, but I think that, this conversation...
Have you noticed how much you say that about everything you say? I really hope I'm wrong.
The reason I'm saying that is because I don't think that these are fun things to talk about. But I do think that the KD what-if, the Harden trade what-if, that will carry with this team until they eventually rebuild. I really think so. And as far as like giving Presti like a pass or something like that, I think that maybe give him 2 years mm-hmm. and see what he does. But the like, you know, this team built around KD, like that, I think that continues until Russ is done with OKC.
I read this question, I was trying to think back, because I think a good thing to remember is like how unique this situation is. Because like I tried to think of teams in the past that had more than one elite star and then one leaves and what happened to that team. And there just aren't a lot of examples. Honestly, I think the best example is 2004 when the Lakers traded Shaq, because they still had Kobe at that point.
Right.
And it took them 4 seasons to get back into contention. They missed the playoffs, out in the first round, and then they made the finals and they lost. And if you go back and look at how that team was built from that point, they had so many advantages over Oklahoma City. Like, first, they got something back for Shaq.
Right.
Which included Lamar Odom.
Butler.
And Crum Butler. Yeah. They nailed a late Brian lottery Grant. Pick with Bynum. They completed a massive trade that at the time was considered like a theft in getting Pau Gasol.
And it was.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a top three coach of all time. Their star that was still there, Kobe, was only 26, 2 years younger than Russell Westbrook.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in L.A., so they were already a free agent destination. And mm-hmm. even with all those advantages, it still took them 4 years with a really good GM to rebuild that team and get to the finals.
Right.
Or even just to be in like a contender status.
Yeah.
And so it's just hard for me to like think of like in 2 years, like Presti's got to show something more than what he showed this year. Cause like, what is it going to be? Like they're going to be the 4 seed. So what, they're going to jump up like 2 spots. Like that, right. That sounds realistic to me, but I don't know if people will be happy with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to be back in contention.
Well, and it was also in an era where NBA teams just weren't that good, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like the Detroit Pistons during that time, like you think back to those Pistons teams, like they had good players, but if that Pistons team was dropped into the NBA today,
right,
what would they be? Like the fifth best team in the NBA? Like they're not that special, but they were in that era a very special team.
They played
team.
2 finals.
Yeah.
Won one and lost the other. Beat the Lakers in one, right? And then lost to the Spurs in the next one.
Mm-hmm.
Which, that Spurs-Pistons, woof.
Oh, my gosh. That was awful.
What a series.
I remember we watched at least one of those games together.
There was one good game, because I think Robert Horry had a shot in that series.
Sorry, I didn't mean to bring up that night.
That era was just really bad, too.
It was a lower.
Here's the deal. Nobody has a chance to become a contender until the Cavs or the Warriors fall. Like, right. Who else is going to do it? I mean, the only team I could see becoming something on that level is maybe if the Timberwolves, if all their guys develop in the next 2 years and become these superstars, then I can see that team challenging.
God, they're so... It feels like they're way further away.
They haven't made the playoffs.
Especially if they're targeting Derrick Rose this summer.
Right.
Oh, no.
And so... But then it's like, who else...
Like, it's going to take, like, a big trade. It's going to take big movement from somebody. Like,
I think it would take Boston getting Butler and Paul George, Gordon Hayward or Paul George.
And even so, even then,
you're still not as good.
Are they as good as the Cavs or the Warriors? Like, probably not.
At least becomes competitive.
Yeah, at least they can
maybe a game
win
six,
games.
Seven, you know,
and
at least.
And when they win games, you won't think like, oh, this is like a complete joke.
Yeah,
right. And then you don't know. Like, at least at that point, they have the if the opportunity arises, like, oh crap, Steph Curry got hurt and LeBron got hurt.
Yeah,
like that something like that could.
That's
happen.
Why you don't blow it up.
Yeah,
I mean that's why you try to
just have to be ready for like what if it happens.
I think the Thunder are closer, and this is total probably bias, and I get that. But so when I was thinking about we've done a lot to really downgrade this Thunder record, right? Like you know they won this many games, but they had so many games that they shouldn't have won because
right.
Russ just pulled them. There's also a lot of things that went against this Thunder team. When Cantor was hurt for a large chunk of the season, Victor Oladipo was mm-hmm. hurt for a huge part of the season. Like all of those, I mean, they're closer to that 4-3 than they are probably the 8 to out of the playoffs, in my opinion. And so depending on what Sam does, and this is, I think, going back to this whole conversation, is I think you're right, Andrew. I think that Presti, if you remember his interview after Kevin Durant signed with the Warriors, like, it wasn't just a, you know, we wish Kevin the best. Like, you could tell, and I know that article that whatever his name is from Sports Illustrated, that Lee Jenkins wrote, you could tell there was a depth of, not sadness, that's a little too heavy, but just something where it was like a let down feeling because
yeah.
every plan that they had for this team since 2008 was to be a Spurs-esque team with Durant, Russ, you know, those guys being the two centerpieces. Mm-hmm. And so, really, maybe it's his whole, as long as Presti's the GM, as long as Russ is here, like, that's going to be the narrative. The difference is that Thunder fans have to redefine success for themselves. Like, if success is only an NBA Finals or a Western Conference Finals victory, right, or even getting, I think the Thunder can get to the Western Conference Finals. I think they're a year or two, they can get back to there.
There's nobody else in the West that scares you.
No. Rockets are going to age quickly.
They'd have to get into the right spot.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, we saw that the Thunder weren't that far away from where the Rockets were in the first round. They were one solid backup point guard away because they were beating the Rockets when Russ was in the game. And when he was out, it was over.
Yep.
Like that's how they lost that series. And so if they can bring in a guy that can run the offense for 10 minutes, then this can be a solid team.
So maybe getting swept in the Western Conference Finals is your new successful season.
Yeah, I mean,
when, you know, next year or in...
For anybody ever, for the next 4 years.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel very successful at that, though.
It doesn't feel that great.
It doesn't, but when you're measuring success against maybe the greatest team of all time that's ever been put together.
So the hard thing is that for the last 5-6 years, every single year, the Thunder fan base, rightfully so, believed that there was a chance that they were going to be having a parade in late June.
Yeah.
Every single year, they thought that for the last 6 years. Yeah. And valid.
It was like, at least possible.
You always felt like it was one or two things away, an injury mm-hmm. or whatever. And so I think part of it is you have to change those expectations.
Yeah, this is going to be like a 50-win team as long as Russ is here, and they're going to try to put better pieces around him. They're going to try to form a better offense around him. They need to play their shooters. A lot of people are like, well, they need to go get shooting. Well, they also just need to play the guys that can shoot.
That's the truth.
And I think that Abrinas being older will help, and him being more experienced will help. I think Sabonis as well, who's still working. He's working hard. Like, there's already been an article about him come out to say that he's here in Oklahoma City and he's working really hard. So I think that those guys
he got a summer job. He's working really hard at it.
That's Sonic, right. He's car hopping.
Yeah. He's working at the Gator Grill. I think those things are important for this team. And a lot of it, I've said this multiple times, the theme of the summer is internal development. And if something big comes along, I think the Sam Presti would jump on it. But it's going to take a superstar. If, like, Blake Griffin or somebody would have to come to the Thunder and say, hey, I would like to play for your team.
So, yeah, which is not happening. Alex, let me ask you a few questions since we have you here and want to hear your thoughts on development. Are you muted?
No.
Okay, I was like,
no,
you're showing me a microphone cord. So out of the guys that are, so I think that there are, and maybe this is where you can correct me. I think the Thunder roster has talent, like in some talent in the right pieces. Who has to take the biggest step forward into 2017-18 for this team to really get up to that 3 seed, 2 seed, 4 seed, 4-3-2?
I think. I don't think it's going to be. It has to be Oladipo or Adams because they have the highest baseline of talent right now. So them making a jump would be a lot more significant than like Abrines playing a little bit more consistently or whatever. So in that case, it'd probably be Adams developing like some kind of offensive game. I think would open up a ton for the team.
Does that fit with today's NBA? Like, who goes to a low post that's successful anymore?
He doesn't have to go to the low post,
though. Yeah, he doesn't have to.
What do you think? Mid-range a little more?
I think that he'll be able to shoot jumpers eventually.
Yeah.
And also just being that role man is really, really big in today's game. That's why like JaVale McGee has been so valuable to the Warriors is that role man is still extremely important. Like the DeAndre Jordan type player is extremely important.
It just got eaten up this year because there was no spacing for the Thunder for large chunks of the season.
Mm-hmm. But if Adams can become a better facilitator and passer too, then he opens up a lot for himself too in the pick and roll.
And I know this is contrary to most big, like most role men, you don't want them to ever put the ball on the ground. But there's part of me with Adams that wishes he had the potential to do more than just, because when he gets the ball, if it's not going immediately up, he's going to pass it or do one of those floaters. Like, I wish there was potential where he could put the ball and maybe do a spin or something to where he could do something to get to the basket a little bit more. But so what do you think? I mean, for me, it's hard for me not to think immediately of McDermott or Abrines. Like, I think McDermott is a huge piece for this team. Maybe not huge, but a pretty
significant. It's big, in my opinion, because I think that Presti kind of showed his hand a little bit at the press conference. They want to play him at the four. And that means we want Russell Westbrook to have space. And that also means one of the bigs is probably going. I think Taj Gibson is... I think he's definitely gone at this point. Like, yeah. I would be surprised if the Thunder even...
You think Taj and Ennis could be gone, though, this summer?
I do, yes.
I do, too.
Ennis probably has a better chance of being on this roster.
Just because he's hard to move.
Yeah, just because what are you going to get for him?
I think McDermott's important in that he would help solve one of their biggest problems, which is their bench. Because I know Andrew's talked about this before, but like my biggest fear for next year is that they regress in terms of their clutch play. But if you have a better bench, you're in less clutch situations.
They will definitely regress in their clutch play.
Right, so you would like to be in less clutch situations.
Yes. And that's why the backup point guard is so important.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have anybody that can create... And the backup point guard could already be on the roster. It could be Victor Oladipo if they would just let him do it.
Raymond Felton, man. Bring him on.
Ray Felton would be great.
Which is literally the worst statement we've
ever really
said.
It's really sad. It's a sad thing. But really, I mean, it won't take much to upgrade the backup point guard position. It will not take much at all.
Basically what Deron Williams is doing on the Cavs. If there's a Deron Williams type on the Thunder, it would change everything for that team.
Everything.
Everything changes.
That's why I like Derek White. Derek White's my guy.
At 21? Or are you trying to get him like...
At 21, at whatever.
Would it be a reach to get him at 21?
No. Because who else are you going to take?
He's climbing, right?
Yeah, okay, yeah, okay.
If I'm the Thunder,
because for me,
and I keep the 21st pick, I'm taking Derek White.
Because it's hard not to think about the potential of moving up, right? Like, that's what I got to remember. Is like, if they're staying at 21... So you have two options, and that's what most people are really looking at, is they have this small forward from, I think he plays at Barcelona or something, who's 6'9 and can shoot, but not.
Crooks.
They're just going to.
Rodions.
Crooks.
Rodions.
But he's a draft and stash. Which
Yeah. He's draft and stash. He's been playing for the second team in Barcelona. And Luke is my mic stand. If you're watching
on
Periscope.
Why are you holding the mic? Because I'm getting ready to move to the next Twitter question.
Oh, okay. Thunder
you
fans.
You guys would ever shut up.
Thunder
God.
Fans. Thunder fans are going to be so mad if we get a draft and stash.
Yeah, and actually, so Derek White, one of the reasons why I think he's a much more like legitimate candidate is because, remember around the trade deadline, we were talking about possible trades, and I said, like, I just want
a trade that brings back actual NBA players.
Right.
And that happened. He traded Cam Payne, who is not an NBA player at this point, and he got McDermott and Gibson, who are both legitimate, just rotation guys.
Yes.
Right.
And so I that's the biggest problem with this Oklahoma City team is their depth. And so getting a piece that you can actually use next year, even if he's a fifth-year senior or whatever, is much more appealing to me than doing a draft and stash.
And I think fifth-year seniors, we've talked exhaustively about, I mean, that's a word, but we've talked a lot about Russ's timeline. A fifth-year senior makes more sense with Russ's timeline. A backup point guard that's 23, 24, 25 in the next two or three years, like that makes sense more to me than a 19-year-old
right
power forward or small forward that doesn't play in Spain right now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Every time I think that we have figured out, like any idea we have never materialized.
Well, guys, just remember, we decided last week that Derek White is actually Damian Lillard. So if Damian Lillard could come in and play backup point guard for 10 minutes, I think we'll be okay.
I will say that that's partly true. Like, we say a lot of things and they never, ever happen. But the Taj Gibson stuff, that was something we had been talking about for the whole season. Doug McDermott was surprising. No, I'm not just saying because of that. Because people get the murmurs. Like, the murmurs are out there. Campaign was promised, basically. We knew Campaign was going to be picked. We knew Steven Adams was going to be the pick.
Well, I think the deal with the Bulls trade is that no one would have thought that was possible. If that was a trade call, people would have said, you guys are idiots. And people say that anyways.
But the truth is,
people would say that is a dumb trade.
And we say, anything is possible.
It's basically Cam for Doug McDermott and then Anthony Morrow and Joffrey Lavernier for Taj Gibson. If somebody told you that you could do that, they would have said that you are dumb.
And the Thunder get a second round pick. Next year, right?
Good Lord.
It's not this year.
Okay. All right, guys, let's move on
that
to
was
our
like
next
a 20 minute Twitter quote.
And this next one is going to be just as divisive, this next Twitter question. It comes from @justjack71, who wants to know, if happy hour lasts for more than an hour, shouldn't it be called happy hours? I'm with him on this.
I actually looked it up.
Is it?
From Wikipedia.
What does it say?
The plural is only used to refer to separate happy hour spans, a la, I've been to 3 happy hours at this bar, or to happy hours at different establishments, such as which bars in town have the cheapest happy hours. The practice, common in some languages, notably French, of pluralizing the borrowed expression in reference to a period longer than 1 hour, such as happy hours from 4 to 6, is unidiomatic in English. So the French do it. The French use happy hours as a plural.
Ooh, oui, oui.
That's the takeaway.
Okay.
So he just needs to move to France.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think happy hour is the name of like the event of half price.
That's probably what I think too, right?
Yeah.
But when you're there, if you're there for it, you're having happy hours.
No, you're not.
Yes, you are.
You're also having the Bars BQ.
Thank you, God.
Oh, no. That's why you asked this
Bars
question.
BQ. Guys, I still stick by that, and I know that I've been proven right. And I know that down to Dunk Nation out there is right there with me.
You're so good at politics, actually.
I know that the Down to Dunk heads feel me on this.
You're very good at politics.
And just because I am one of five, six, I don't know how many people we have here. I can't count fast.
This is going really well.
I know down to Dunk heads are with me. So I'll see you guys at the happy hours. Let's move on to our next Twitter question. Andrew, you don't have a mic, so no one can know that you're making fun of me.
Well, now they do.
No. Our next Twitter question comes from @DakariSanchez, who says, Frank Jackson had foot surgery and will be out until July. Do you think this would stop Presti from taking him at 21?
I don't think so. I think if this is the guy that he's been promised in the first round, and I'm just scared that this is going to be the Thunder's
pick. And is that because Presti has a history of promising?
Yeah, there's not a ton of other GMs that promise guys.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's likely that Sam Presti has promised Frank Jackson. But I don't know. We'll see. It's that the surgery thing is not going to keep him from drafting him. Unless it's something crazy.
What's the surgery for?
I don't...
I'm not that deep in the weeds with the Frank Jackson news. But he's an athlete. He's a streaky shooter. He's a projected second round pick. He's not going to be able to. He's a blue player. This is a blue player that they would bring over.
Sweet.
And I'm not excited about that. The Thunder don't need any more blue players. And honestly, the guys that they have with the blue, I mean, they brought the wrong guy up. They're playing the wrong guy from the blue. Like, they need to play Josh Huestis. They don't need to play Samaj Christian. I think that next year, if they're going to keep Josh Huestis, they've got to play him. And this is really the only thing I have to say about Frank Jackson, is that they need to play Josh Huestis.
Yeah, I know.
How much is he... I'm getting, like, a Cam vibe from him. He's
a better athlete than Cam.
Does he have more defensive potential?
Yeah. He's a guy that could potentially play next to Russ a little bit better. He's got better size. But I'm not a huge fan of him, mostly because I don't think that he'll be ready to play. It may take 2 or 3 years for him to play for the Thunder. And the Thunder don't need guys like that anymore. Back whenever they had Russ and KD, fine. If you want to develop these guys at the back of the bench and then bring them up and they'll be ready to play in 3 years, great. The Thunder need role players now. They need players that can be a part of the rotation now. So I'm not a fan of drafting him.
Well,
that's why.
I'm not either, because you remember the last Jackson we drafted? Didn't work out.
Samaj Jackson?
I'm talking about Jordan Jackson.
Guys, while we're talking about foot surgery and feet, did you guys see Shaq's toes?
I did.
What did they look like?
He had a little baby big toenail.
No, it's like trying to hide underneath all the rest of his toes. Sick.
Oh,
you see it on Twitter?
Because he's been having to like jam his feet in shoes for so long?
I don't know.
Probably.
It's disgusting.
That happens, huh?
Disgusted me.
It looks like my grandmother's foot.
Oh, because that was back in the day when women were really trying to shrink their feet up.
What are you... it was disgusting, and I don't like thinking about feet injuries, specifically toenail injuries, and it made me think about them a lot.
Mm. Oh, those toenails look unhealthy. Calcified.
They do look disgusting. Okay, let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from Will R. Pennington. He wants to know who would be the Thunder's all-time summer league team of guys who didn't pan out. He would take Cam, Robert, Vaden, PJ3, McGarry, and Orton.
Remember how great Mitch McGarry was in summer league?
Oh my gosh.
That was so fun. He was fast breaking. He was so fun. You know what?
I still think Mitch McGarry could have been a normal basketball player if he wasn't so jacked up off the court.
Yeah, if he wasn't an idiot, he could be an NBA rotation player.
He had a good offensive game. He did. When he got in the game,
he
was
so bad defensively. You remember when we played against the Spurs and Boris Diaw was like, I'm going to make this guy look like he shouldn't play basketball.
The problem is he's an idiot.
Yeah.
If he wasn't such an idiot.
That was such a weird pick in retrospect, because his idiocy was well known. It was well chronicled.
Right.
The belief in culture, right? Like, our culture can overcome somebody's stupidity.
There's like a documentary of him and his chronicling his like getting caught with weed in college. And at the end of it, they're like, what did you learn from this whole process? Don't get caught.
Yeah.
That's what he said. That was like the final, like, this is the takeaway. Don't get caught. Great. Yeah. Thanks, Mitch.
And he probably
I don't know how he fooled Sam Presti into taking him.
Well, and I think it was during that time where Presti, what you were just talking about, like, we're in contention. We can just use these late first round draft picks on guys and maybe it'll work out. Maybe it doesn't. Yeah. He was what, 26? I think 26th pick?
Oh, no. He was the 21st pick.
Oh, he was 21st?
Yeah. Yeah, because they had the Mavs pick, and then they had their own pick.
Okay.
And they took Josh Huestis with their own pick, and they took...
That felt very much like the Perry Jones pick to me, too. Like, oh, here's this guy who was really talented in
Mitch
college.
McGarry had some did. Mitch McGarry
had some issues.
Mitch McGarry was a guy that was supposed to be able to come in and play right away. That was his thing in the draft. Okay, this guy's ready to play now. He can play in a playoff series, blah, blah, blah.
Bill Simmons was really jacked about that pick.
He thought he was going to... Yeah, he thought he could... And rightfully so. Like, the guy can play. He's just a big dummy.
Yeah.
Mm. So, what is the question?
You think he still has all those...
Summer League roster.
I went back through every Summer League roster just to find names.
Yeah?
Did you know that Kent Bazemore was on the Thunder Summer League team in 2012?
Had no clue.
Wow.
Some other names that brought back some memories. The biggest one was Dwight Bucks.
Oh, man.
Or Dwight Spikes.
Yeah. Spikes, yeah.
I remember him.
That was a big thing. He actually had some time on the Raptors for
a
little
bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
He kind of had a Samaj-like summer league where I was like, oh, I could see Dwight Bikes playing.
Yeah, we talked about him. There was an offseason we did talk about
him. We talked about Bikes.
Who can forget Tony Durant?
Yeah, that was weird.
Grant Jarrett, who I still don't believe is a real person. Never seen him. Still don't know what he looks like.
I saw him at the mall.
Oh, no.
He has no neck.
He's got no neck. He's a wannabe Brian Cook. Which is a bad thing to want to be.
Same year as James Harden's first year was Devon Harden.
Oh, yeah. Big man.
Yeah. And then
big man.
Mustafa Shakur.
Yeah.
From Arizona. I remember him.
He was on Thunder for a minute.
Cool minute.
Here's what I will say about Mitch Majeri. So when I heard
Mitch Majeri.
Mitch Majeri.
So that's the 2014 NBA draft.
Yeah.
That draft's pretty awful.
Yeah, but what's the very next pick?
So, yeah, I know. Everybody's going to evaluate it based on the fact that Jordan Adams was next, but then you had Rodney Hood.
Yeah.
Rodney Hood would have been a better fit. Kyle Anderson, probably, maybe. I don't know.
He can actually play. Yeah. That'd be great.
Which is right there. He was right after Jeremy Grant, actually, was in the second round of that one.
Clint Capella was 25.
And then Jokic, obviously. But Jokic is probably the best player in that whole draft, and he was drafted in the second round.
Yeah.
Because your first two are Wiggins and Parker. I know that there's tons of potential left out on those guys. But
Embiid, baby.
And then Embiid was three.
Embiid, but baby.
So far,
no speed,
so
baby.
Far, that draft has not been spectacular.
It's not a great draft. Also, Sam Presti's worst draft by far.
Yeah.
He did a bad job.
Yeah, especially when you consider what's happened with Eustis. I mean, that was like an all-timer just because, like, why? Why did he do this?
They're
like,
waiting for this year. He's the missing piece.
I will
piece
say
for
this,
year.
I am not giving up on Josh Eustis.
Me neither.
I think he can play.
I remember I really wanted Spencer Dinwiddie.
I remember that. Year. He's got quite a mustache.
Guys, let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from @dmad8266. Who wants to know if we lose Robertson in restricted free agency, who would the Thunder pursue?
Rudy Gay.
They still don't, but they wouldn't have space if they lost Robertson, right? Like you can't go.
No.
You have to still do your exceptions. It's the only way you're getting guys.
They're not. They would not be able to pursue much. So they would have to talk somebody into taking a lower salary, or it's just going to be a guy that you're like, oh, great.
Or you bring in Eustis for the three.
What about three guys? What do you think PJ Tucker's going to get this summer? Is he going to get more than an exception?
I don't know, but he's not a Robertson replacement, though.
Why no?
Why no?
Why no?
Because the big thing about Robertson is that he can defend point guards, he can defend shooting guards, and PJ Tucker can't do either of those things.
We don't need all that. We don't need all those skills. Okay, what about, here's a guy who can defend multiple positions, Omri Caspi.
Okay. Is that a joke?
No, I still like him.
Oh, I think he's good, but he's also a 3-4.
Okay.
Which the Thunder could use.
Here's a real one who would be in the price range.
I'm really afraid of what you're about to say.
Was once heralded as the future Scottie Pippen.
Oh.
Mr. KJ McDaniels.
Yeah. That's your list, guys.
Same,
but doesn't that sound like the most like
same
realistic that they could actually get?
Yeah.
None
of those guys are replacing what Robertson can do at that point.
But all of them so much better on offense.
You go get one of those guys, fine, and then I think you have to start probably Doug McDermott at that point, and then you just become more of an offensive team. You just have to.
You're hoping that Vic could be somebody that. I mean,
he's a good defender.
He should be able to defend ones and twos.
He's good.
PJ's still a good defender, and he's better on offense than Robertson. Does he not make up a little bit of ground because of his offensive game?
I would be all in on Tucker over Robertson for this team right now.
Oh,
maybe
man,
I'm crazy,
guys. Yeah, you're crazy.
I know that Robertson's phenomenal, man, but he can't play. He literally couldn't play against the Rockets because he can't make a dagger.
He was the second best player in the series until the free throws.
And he also killed them in those games. He killed them in those games because he...
In the last two games,
killed them.
Yes, he did. But they wouldn't have been even in any of those games if not for him in
this
first...
Yes, if he's replaced with nobody. But if he's replaced with a guy that's a little bit worse defensively, but can be on the court...
I just think that you're undervaluing him.
Dude, I know, but I told you, like, as I'm following on my phone because I'm out of the country and all I see is Andre Robertson, free throw, missed
one. Okay, that's fine. That's a good argument. But to say that you just replace him with some guy off the street, no.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying a guy, PJ Tucker, who has proven to be a good basketball player, good defender.
Decent defender. He's fine. He's a fine NBA rotation player.
He can make free throws.
Andre Robertson is all NBA second team, has an argument to be a top three defender in the NBA.
You can't
say that he is killing the team because they he's such a conundrum.
He killed them against the Rockets. I will absolutely say that.
He is such a
conundrum. He may be the only reason they were in there, but he's also the reason that they fell apart. One of the major reasons they fell apart.
So if they played Doug McDermott instead of him, if they played Doug McDermott 35 minutes, you think they would beat the Rockets?
You're twisting my argument because I'm not saying Doug McDermott.
Well, who are you saying?
I'm saying like a P.J. Tucker.
So if P.J. Tucker played 35 minutes a game in place of Andre Robertson, they would have beaten the Rockets.
I mean, I think they have a good chance.
I don't think they would
have
lost in any more than any less than five.
I don't think it's a difference maker that much. I think that there's a chance that they probably...
I think you're forgetting how good he was
he
in those first few games.
He is a phenomenal defender.
And he played well on offense in that series.
He can't be on the court. He needs to not be on the court in the fourth quarter.
Okay. And that's not Andre's fault. That's Billy D's fault.
But having your core small forward as a guy who is a risk to have on the court in the fourth quarter is problematic. He has to be better at free throws next year.
He's working.
Hey, yes, it may not matter, but
he's working.
PJ Tucker is more handsome.
He is definitely not.
I don't agree.
Yes, he is.
I'm not going to say either one of them.
I'd say
really.
They're about equal.
What?
A guy I wish that the Thunder did have space to make an offer to would be Joel Ingles, because I'm really interested to see what Utah does with him this year. Because if Hayward stays, or especially if he leaves, like, do you really want to give Joel Ingles, who's like 29, like $12 million a year?
But the Thunder do, and I would love that.
Yeah,
I'd love Joel Ingles.
I don't think Ingles is leaving the Jazz, man. They're gonna pay him.
They probably will, but like they're so screwed this summer if Hayward leaves. Because if Hayward leaves, there's no reason to re-sign George Hill. And if there's no reason to sign George Hill...
It's a full rebuild around Gobert.
Exactly.
Gobert.
A bowl full of Goberts.
Love some Gobert. Hey. I mean, it is, though. You're absolutely right. Everybody on that team's up for grads, basically.
I'm just interested to see like
Favors
who does
gone.
Offer him.
Yeah.
Because if you are a team anyway, right? Who's like decent and just needs like a good role player, like Joel Ingles would be pretty nice.
The Clippers would kill for him.
They don't murder.
The they don't have the money to get. But
hey, guys, let's move on to our next Twitter question.
It comes from at Corey Kaiser, who wants to know, what are your top three LeBron games?
Why do you keep skipping questions?
Because I don't know. Because we go for them so all long.
Skip the wrong question, dude.
We went 20 minutes on the first question.
We did.
I know.
These are good. This is what people want. Don't act like the pot isn't better when Andrew and I
give the
argue.
People what you want.
All I can remember, the best LeBron game I ever remember. Number one, so last year, let's just say Game 7, because that block was incredible. I don't remember much of it.
Oh, yeah.
That was good.
You remember when they played the Pistons?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What was that, 2007? Seven. And he scored 20
game five
straight points.
The last 25 points of the Cavs is a double OT game.
It was spectacular,
man. Great.
He was only 22 years old.
Yeah, he was not like that. Was like the moment where you're like, oh my gosh,
and it was
LeBron
on
James.
The road,
yeah, in the palace finals. Of Auburn Hills. Crazy,
incredible.
Hey, let's thanks for the question, Cody. We're not gonna keep going on this. This question is from at Jason M.
You're so bad at this. Our next Twitter question comes from at Jason M. Ameson. He wants to
what
know, that's how
that's
what's
you're so bad,
Arneson.
Aim.
Hey, there's an
RN. No, it's not. That's an M. That's an Ameson.
You're a lawyer.
Yeah, look. It's Ameson.
I'm not going to.
Judge, it's Ameson. I'm Ameson. Sorry.
Ameson, I'm right. Wow. You guys are wrong. Andrew, this is why I read these. Wants to know, would a Brandon Knight plus TJ Warren for a Canter trade make sense?
I think for the Thunder, it would make a lot of sense. I don't. Brandon Knight has been really, 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 really bad for the Suns. He has been awful. But he wasn't that bad when he was with the Bucks, right? Like right. He fit really well with that team.
He was a borderline all-star. Zach Lowe yeah. mentioned right. him yeah. in his all-star right. column.
So I think that his value being so low, it makes sense. Because if he was the backup point guard for the Thunder and he could play next to Russ, I think I know he's been so bad, but I just have hope that he could actually be an NBA player on a real NBA team when he can play with guys that are actually good.
Don't you worry that he's just been dunked on too many times. There's just no coming back.
The poor man's been dunked on too many times. He's worthless.
I like the idea in the sense that I feel like everyone's been focusing on whether the Suns are going to trade Bledsoe, but it makes so much more sense for them to trade
Brandon Knight. They would love to trade Brandon Knight.
Because not only is he worse than Eric Bledsoe, but his contract goes for an extra year longer than... It's another 3 years.
Oh, my Lord.
Like, starting next season.
Yeah.
Oh, but... With this trade, there's no way you're getting TJ Warren in addition.
No, the trade would have to be different.
And as far as the Suns like wanting or needing Cantor, they have so many guys that they either need or want to play center minutes because they have Alex Len, who's going to be coming up for an extension next summer. So they need to know what they have here. They also have Dragan Bender, who's like the prototypical stretch five. He played 31% of his minutes last year at center. And then they played Marquise Chris, like 13% of his minutes at center. So they have all these young guys that they need to get center minutes. And that's not even talking about Tyson Chandler, who in this scenario you assume they give him 0 minutes.
He's got 2 years left at $12
million. Yeah. And so I think that it only makes sense for the Suns financially because they would potentially get out of that money next summer if Cantor waives his player option. And they have a ton of like big deals coming up with TJ Warren, Devin Booker in the next couple of years, and then eventually, you know, Chris and Bender.
Yeah. Would you do Brandon Knight and Barbosa for Cantor?
Yeah, I would. I really like Brandon Knight. And this is the kind of deal where I really don't think they're going to get a ton for Cantor. I think that's really risky because he is the best player on their worst unit. And so if you remove him from the bench and you're not getting back like an actual rotation player, you're really screwing yourself.
Right.
But Brandon Knight is and can be a legitimate rotation player.
Yeah.
The only problem is how do you get him minutes? Because if you go into next year, Westbrook's playing like 34,
right.
Oldipo's playing 30, you want Abrines probably 15 to 20. That leaves about 15 minutes for Brandon Knight. Like, that's the extent of what they need right now. And I just don't, I almost feel like he's overqualified.
Well, and that's where you have to play guys like Oladipo
at the three.
At the three, and you play Alex Abrines at the three. You just play smaller.
Yeah.
If you trade Cantor for Brandon Knight and Barbosa, or Brandon Knight and whatever, then you're a smaller team, and you're a more offensively focused team, and you're going to run more, and you're going to shoot more threes. And that's probably what the Thunder need to do anyways with such a high-octane point guard, is that you'd rather run and play smaller than do what the Thunder have been trying to do, is play big. And that's why I don't see this happening, is that the Thunder still believe in playing big. They still want to slide Andre Robertson back to the two. They still want to do that.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know. I think one thing about Cantor, there was another question about Cantor that we didn't talk about, but I was just thinking about like how the league has changed, but how fast it changed.
Yeah.
Like 2 years ago, the Sixers took Jahlil Okafor as the number three pick, which is like almost amazing to think at this point.
Yeah.
Like think what a prospect like that
right.
would go in this year's draft. Like it feels like it took people that long to figure out that those guys weren't valuable anymore.
Yeah. And teams are still doing this though. Like look at the mid first round. It's all big men.
Right.
And it happens every year. They're like, oh, well, this guy, maybe he can do this. Maybe he can do that. And then they're like, oh, well, we probably should have taken that guard or that forward in the draft. Big guys are always going to impress through the draft process. And, yeah, you're right. I don't know. It's pretty crazy. And it's funny that, like, the most progressive team in the league is the team that took Jahlil Okafor. team that like everybody's like, trust the process. Oh, the process got you Jahlil Okafor instead of like Porzingis. Like Porzingis should have been that, like if they were like truly like this like process team, like isn't Porzingis the pick? Like that would just make so much more sense. Even if Porzingis isn't any good, like his high upside just made a lot more sense than Okafor at the time, who was like this, you knew what you were getting. You were getting Al Jefferson.
Right.
Hey guys, it's time to do some trade calls.
Oh,
we got to take some men to trade machines.
Let's take some men
to trade machines.
Take this man. Take this man. Take this man. Take this man to the trade machine.
Andrew, who are we taking man's trades machine?
I need somebody to be Phil Jackson.
Schmalix.
Okay.
Special guest, Bill Craxton.
What is Bill Craxton?
That's Bill Craxton.
Okay. We're going to trade Carmelo.
Oh, okay.
Ring, 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 ring.
Hello.
It's Daryl. Daryl Morey.
Hey, Daryl.
Hey, you okay?
What's that?
You're coughing. Are you sick?
No. I'm good. What's up, bro?
we're interested in bringing over Carmelo. Would you be interested in a Ryan Anderson for Carmelo Anthony swap?
Not at all. Click.
Really? No interest at all?
No.
No way.
Why?
I don't know.
If that's all they're getting back, then I would just keep doing the death stare with Carmelo.
He didn't have a toed.
Till the end.
He's also not very good, maybe.
Okay. Who?
Ryan.
Well, we know what he can do.
No, yeah.
We know what he can't do.
That's true. Ring, 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 ring.
Hello?
Hey, it's Chris Wallace.
From
the Grizzlies.
Fox News.
From the Memphis Grizzlies.
Oh,
I'm not looking for a quote here. I just want to see how weird we're going to get.
Let's do it.
Let's see how... Chandler Parsons for Carmelo.
No! Gosh! Okay. Click! Click!
Just trying to... Okay, fine. I just wanted to see how weird we're going to get.
Phil just...
I just want to see. I wanted to test the waters a little bit.
You're killing my buzz over here.
Ring, 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 ring.
God, no, click.
Hello.
Danny Age.
Hi, Dan.
We will trade you Tyler Zeller for Carmelo Anthony.
That's not real.
What are these trades?
Is that a real trade?
Yeah, it's a real trade.
What are you going to get? You're going to get nothing. You're going to keep him. Because there's nothing better.
How about Enes Kanter?
Would you do Enes Kanter?
Well, yeah, of course. Oh, am I a Phil now? The three-team sign-and-trade with the Clippers idea, I actually feel like it could be legit. I feel like it could work for all the teams involved. Assuming that Chris Paul comes back. And
yeah.
Because we have a lot we could give New York if they're not going to get anything. I would give up Kanter and a young piece. Kanter and McDermott or something.
Yeah.
And a pick. I don't care.
I just don't think they're going to be able to get much for him.
For Melo?
Yeah.
Melo. How many years does he have? Is that... So 2 years. Is that that means?
Yes.
Okay.
David Griffin here. Mon Shumpert, Channing Frye, Richard Jefferson.
No. Andrew.
R.C. Buford here. Pau Gasol and Tony Parker.
No.
God. I just don't think they're getting much for him.
No. That's the whole point of these trade calls.
Yeah. I just don't... Who's going to give up a major asset?
The only way I think you're doing it is if it's a... So the Oklahoma City one, and Alex mentioned this too, I think that there is part of it that if you're swapping contracts that don't make sense for your team as they are.
Yeah.
Right? So Melo is obviously... Phil's trying to run him out, get him to waive his no trade clause. That's what he's been doing by just trolling him in the media. And so a guy like Melo, who he would have to find the perfect fit. I know that everybody hates this, but if you're going to have Kanter at $17 million for 2 or 3 years versus Melo for $20 million for 2 or 3 years, that's a I know that he's not coming to Oklahoma City. I've been giving up on that for a while, but
yeah,
like both teams are have a piece that they don't really need or don't really want. You know.
Yeah, he's just not waving his no trade for the Thunder.
I think it's different today since him and his wife.
I feel like Houston could offer a little bit more than Ryan Anderson, like, and make like a real.
So what would it be though? They don't have just a lot of tradable pieces.
Show me some Houston boys.
I think that's the biggest problem is that. Ooh, hold on, wrong team. They don't have a ton of tradable assets.
It'd have to be like a Sam Decker, Ryan Anderson.
That's it.
Would you do Sam Decker and Ryan Anderson
as the Knicks?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Down. I don't think so.
What about a Mark?
Then who else is there?
What's
Kyle Wiltjer?
Yeah. Exactly.
I guess Clint Capella is like the next in terms of like a value asset.
Yeah, they're not trading.
Unless you want a Montrez.
Montrezl.
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 Yeah. And then Harrell. Yeah, a guy that couldn't play in the playoffs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They just don't have a lot of tradable pieces.
What about, not necessarily with Thunder, but a three-team deal with the Clippers?
With the Rockets?
No, just like with anyone, just in general. Don't you think that's like the most realistic scenario?
Yeah, I mean, you have to identify what teams Melo's going to go to, right? Miami, probably. Clippers.
Ooh, Miami.
Yeah, he was ready.
You're talking about the Blake Griffin to Oklahoma City.
Well, yeah, or another team.
Yeah. That's just it's just so unlikely because you have to do a three-team deal with a sign and trade, with somebody agreeing with a no-trade clause.
And Griffin would have to agree.
Blake,
right?
Saying that he wants to go to Oklahoma. I mean, they're just like way too many.
Or another team.
I just don't know what other team it would be.
Miami. Yeah. I'm on it. Is that trade clause? Are we done with trade clause?
We're done.
Guys, Taylor's got a game for us.
Okay, this game is called...
Everybody get up, it's game time.
It's time to game time. This game is called...
We got a real game. About to have time. Talking about the game time. Play your game. It's that time. It's a game time.
It's been a while since Luke all got right, my...
All right, all right, all right. That's a new drop for game time. Come on in, game. It's time to game time game.
All right. Well, that was the time allotted for game time. So I hope you enjoyed it.
We've got to go.
We can save the game.
No.
It'll be quick. It's called Loose Boys. It's very quick.
It's called
Loose Boys. Okay, this game, I'm going to give you... I'm going to give you two players. You tell me who has played on more teams in their career.
Okay. All right.
Okay, first two, DJ Augustine, Randy Foy.
Foy.
Augustine.
Jay's not playing. DJ Augustine has played on 8 teams, Randy Foy's played on 7. Next round, Ish Smith, Marcus Thornton.
Thornton.
I'm going to go Ish.
It's Ish. Ish Smith has played on 10 teams.
Wow.
Marcus Thornton, 7.
That's a loose boy.
He's a loosey. Next round, Gerald Green or Matt Barnes?
Matt Barnes.
I'm going to go Matt Barnes, too.
Green.
Matt Barnes, 9-8.
Rock at this game.
Sean Livingston or Chris Humphreys?
Humphreys.
I'm going to go Chris Humphreys.
Sean Livingston.
K-Hump. Livingston.
Oh, geez.
9 teams to Chris Humphreys, 8.
Wow.
Next round, we're going to go a little old school. Brian Shaw or Mike James?
Mike James.
Mike Shaw.
Mike James.
He just said Mike Shaw.
Mike Shaw. Brian Shaw has played on 7 teams. Mike James has played on 11 teams.
Yeah, Mike James played on lots of teams.
All right.
Mike Shaw.
Mike Shaw.
I got that right.
Technically, you did not. You don't know what technically means.
That's a half point.
Okay.
So that's a halfy.
Okay, halfy Lucy. This is the last round. We got Thunder Connections round. Mark Bryant or Antonio Daniels?
Antonio Daniels.
Tanya.
Antonio Daniels.
Tanya. It's Mark Bryant. He played on 10 teams.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
That's a lot of teams.
He was in the league for a long time. He was in the league for like 13 years.
He was a loose little boy.
He's a good-looking older man.
He doesn't look as yeah, you're right. He doesn't look as old as he is.
Oh.
He started playing in the 80s.
Wow.
It's in the NBA in the 80s.
Doesn't show it.
not a day.
Such a cutie.
Is that it?
Congratulations, Luke. I won.
We all win because we had such a good time. Let's talk about bad times we've had, though, in Miffed and Peeved.
Miffed and Peeved, as it always is brought to you by Oklahoma Shirt Company. If you have any needs for any sort of marketing, this is what you want to do. Call Oklahoma Shirt Company. They also have the Shirt of the Month Club that you can join for about $13, $10 for the shirt, $13 for fees and shipping and all that. You want to go there, they can do individual prints. If you just need one thing printed, they can do that. If you need koozies printed, you need stickers, they are your people. Oklahoma Shirt Company. Go to OklahomaShirtCompany.com. Follow them on Twitter. Follow them on Instagram. Miffed and Peeved.
Are you marfed and parfed?
We're trying to have a drop, I think.
Oh.
We're trying to.
Miffed
and Peeved.
Guys, talk to me about your miffs and piffs. Your piffs and miffs.
I have one.
Oh, I'm ready.
Yesterday, traveled from Portland to Oklahoma City. When we come to Oklahoma City, we have to leave really early. So we have to leave about 4 a.m. from our house, get an Uber to the airport. Yesterday, my Uber driver was a young Jamaican man, very thick accent.
Hey, man.
He was great. I loved him until we had this exchange. Now, I'm not confident in my ability to do a Jamaican accent, so I have asked my friend Luke to play the role of my Jamaican Uber driver.
Oh, yeah, man, because I'm really good at the Jamaican patois.
Okay. So to set the scene, it is 4 a.m. I'm in a Kia Soul, and I'm on the way to the airport.
Are you going on vacation, man?
No, I'm just going home, back to Oklahoma. You ever been there?
No, I've never been there. I've been to Texas, but no Oklahoma, man. I know Oklahoma, though, because they used to have a good basketball team.
What?
Yeah, they used to be good, man. Why did they trade James Harden?
End of scene. It was 4 a.m., and this Uber driver is bringing up the Harden trade to me. I was so tired. I did not want to have to deal with that. And he's asking me about James Harden. I was just like, yeah, man, I don't know. Because I did not want to get into it.
That's bad.
It's going to haunt us forever.
That's why that first Twitter question is that's why it's forever. That's why it's forever. Thanks for listening to our podcast.
Thanks a lot, man. Thanks a lot, all you moms out there. To the moms.